Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment. That's all I have. I have an hour.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. We're doing a quick one. Alex only has an hour. Alex, let's get Thursday night football game.
Finally. Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Angelo? Yeah, finally a good Thursday night football game, I'd say. Most have been, like, last week's wasn't terrible, but it was also not a very good one in terms of, like, infield action, I'd say. This one, I mean, it was just points all over. Surprisingly enough, like, for example, Kirk Cousins, 500 yards passing. A bit over that. We had the Drake London breakout game as well. But if you look at the other side, though, Buccaneers had 30 points. Baker Mayfield didn't even break 200 yards passing, which kind of surprising when I realized it. But he got some short fields, and they got some chunk runs as well. So they managed to make it work, and he used his legs a bit as well. He had, I believe it was over, don't want to say the number wrong, but I think it was over 40 yards rushing, if I'm not mistaken. So,
and Kyle Pitts had such a good game. He's currently a top five tight end.
He is currently a top five tight end. That might be enough to push him. I mean,
the games haven't been played, enough. But he's probably going to be in the top 10 by the end of the week.
He's probably going to be in the top 10 this week. And he probably is going to be in the top 10 just in general. Could this be? Because I noticed a bit of a different usage for him. And although this is a game that we likely won't see happen quite often, because Kirk Cousins threw the ball nearly 60 times, which is just insane, because they weren't even down all that many points. Like, maybe they were down, I don't know, I think it was around two scores for a good bunch of the game. But it's still, like, it's still only two scores. You still want to commit to the run somewhat. So the nearly 60 pass attempts by Cousins are nuts.
I think Atlanta's finally starting to realize what the rest of the world has been realizing. Bijan is not generational.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it, does it? I mean, he had 12 carries to Algier 6, and Algier was in there quite a bit. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Bijan is kind of weird right now. It seems like he has a whole lot of talent, I would say, but there's some things in his game that I think need to be refined a bit for him to reach that stardom level that we were expecting when he came out. Most notably, I think his balance is off. I think he would benefit from, like, an offseason working with one of those guys that are extremely good at the balance. Funny enough, one of them is inside of his division. It's Alvin Kamara. Because, like, his contact balance, after he gets touched, or even before, like, when he is embracing contact, his balance seems to be all over the place, which is quite good for a guy like him.
Breaking news. Malik Nabers has been ruled out.
Yeah. And they might be without Singletary as well, from what I read.
Yeah.
Not looking good for your pick.
It's definitely not. I did it with the assumption that Nabers would play. But, you know, we roll.
You know who benched Drake London for Malik Nabers in our main league? This guy.
What? You did what?
Hey, Malik Harris was starting. Drake London was on the bench. Surprisingly enough, like looking at my rankings, looking at everyone's rankings, Drake London was
Oh no,
not
Singletary has
the
good
guy who was
news.
starting.
Singletary will return to practice Friday, according to Jordan Renan of ESPN.com.
It could be limited though.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a late practice, so I would be surprised if he carries no like designation. It could be
Oh
one
yeah,
of those guys
he'll
that is
carry
like
questionable.
it could
But
be one of those
anyway,
guys.
we're talking
No,
about
it's
you being an idiot and benching Drake London.
hey, I bench Drake London for Malik Nabers because like looking at the matchups of the guys that I have, I mean I'm not benching Chase. We could make an argument for Jaden Reed, but like Jaden Reed has been also on fire. So, and Drake London is going to be available. The Rams defense isn't playing at their best, and the Rams
Oh, damn,
offense
you
in
really
general.
did. He's still in your
Yeah.
lineup right now. Thank God you're not
And
going
then,
against anyone good.
yeah, it's not anyone good. So that's why I basically just took the shot. But even like at running back, it's Henry, it's Kamara, it's K9, and there's another running back that I can't remember right now. That
Cook?
is also starting. Yeah, James
James
Cook.
Cook.
So
I'm
the
looking at it
argument
right now.
was, yeah, the argument was Cook or London, but I think Cook has a good matchup versus the Texans. So I went with that because again, Thursday night football, it's usually low scoring games, but fuck me, I guess. That was not game over 60 points. Except more games like that.
I'm just saying you rigged the schedule against me. I feel it.
Hey, the way that I made the schedule is quite simple. It's like weeks 1 to 3, you face the division opponents. Weeks then the weeks afterwards you face three divisions or two divisions in the league. Yeah, that's it. You face two other divisions in the league. And then it's like one of the divisions you start with the strongest team, so you go from strongest to weakest in that division, and then in the other division you do the opposite, so you go from the weakest to the strongest. That's for the last team and the first team. The other ones are just like going in the ladder basically, so it's the same thing to everyone.
I don't believe you.
He just got
This.
screwed in the divisional games.
I don't believe you. This doesn't look right.
The thing is, it is based on last season's schedule. So, like, if a team ended up with a shitty season, but he made moves in the offseason to get better, I mean, you're still going to face him as one of your weakest team in that part because he was one of the weakest team last season. So. Yeah, you're free to give me suggestions to what I can change,
Okay.
schedule-wise. Okay, so this is a bit of a weird episode because this is not our usual recording time or our usual releasing date.
Didn't even check out the
So,
numbers for Thursday. I checked that live. But anyway, go on. Go
oh,
on with what you're saying.
I don't know. I was gonna say this is kind of an unusual show because we tend to review the games in terms of talking about more football and whatnot. And then the other episode, we usually talk a bit more about fantasy football in general, about what happened in the week and whatnot. And we finish up with the bets. Now, our bets are done. And we did talk a good bit about last week's games in the previous episode. So, in this one, since you're going to be listening to this on a Sunday, I mean, we figured why not talk a bit about the games that are coming up here. Give us some of our thoughts on those games, the fantasy players involved in it, maybe some of the interesting names that we're seeing here that could maybe be some waiver pickups, for example, that people aren't really considering, or I don't know, maybe you're in a deeper league and you need some help. And I mean, deeper leagues are at least my middle name. Because the main ones in, that I play in are usually quite deep. So we're going to look at the games here. We're going to give a bit of the insight. And
Okay.
we're going just in general, we're going to talk a bit about what we feel about all of these games. You know our picks for the games. So now we're just going to go a bit more in depth here for these games. So you seem confused, Angelo. What are you confused about?
I'm looking at the numbers.
And are you surprised about the numbers?
Yes.
In a bad way or a good way?
Both.
Weird enough, I would say. We're discussing the numbers live. He seems quite shocked about what has happened. So I don't know. I don't
what
have.
What if I told you in the last three days we've had over 200 downloads.
That means the audience is liking it. Which, damn, 200. That seems like a lot.
We had one yesterday.
Damn, that seems like a whole lot. So, and yesterday was when the show came out, right?
Yes. Yes, it was.
So we have one. We have one. And that is probably someone that might have had a download as well. So.
Okay. Anyway, that was interesting. Okay. I don't get it. Oh, damn. Okay. I'm good. Go on. Which game do you want to talk about?
You're back?
We can
talk about the London games. London game. I know you are not the biggest fan of London games, are you?
No, I hate them. They're the Jaguars playground. Did I pick the Jaguars playing in London? Did I miss that?
They are going to play, but it's not this week.
Okay, I must say, that's basically a home game. What the heck? This doesn't make any sense.
I think they have, I can check up their schedule, but if I'm not mistaken, I think they have three home games back-to-back because of the London game. So they go to London on week 7. So they go, and actually, yeah, they have back-to-back games on London. It's quite weird, I would say. They are really the London team.
Jaguars, yeah. They fit London just perfectly. They suck.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So if you're from London, you take that. Just like Kirk Cousins used to say, you like that. Okay. So they will play at home week 5 versus the Colts this week. Then they go to London. So they have another home game. They go on week six. Then on week 7, they're at London again. So another home game. And then they face the Packers at Jacksonville. So another home game. So you have 4 home games for them in a row. I don't think I've ever seen like a team go back to back to London. Not sure if it happened before.
Huh. Do you think there's going to be eventually an NFL team just flat out in London? I don't think so. But I'm just curious.
Unless an expansion happens or someone sells their team. I doubt it. I doubt one of the current teams, of the current owners, would shift the team to London.
Really?
Yeah, I think that would require like either new ownership or an expansion team to be added, something along those lines. So I don't think, like, for example, the Jags, who a lot of people mention, I don't think they would relocate under Khan, that is. But I'm sure that Tony would love it because he would be able to use whatever arena they bought in London for his shows. So, Tony Khan would love it. But we have a London game this week. And we talked a bit about the game and we picked our sides and whatnot. But do you think this is a game in which the Jets' offensive slump finally ends? Because outside of the Patriots game, their offense has looked rough. I've seen some people mention, and it's mostly joking, I would expect. But I've seen some people mention that maybe Tyrod Taylor would give them a better shot at winning some of these games because he's more mobile, The O-line is fragile. Aaron Rodgers is still not back to 100%, it seems, at least in terms of his mobility. So I've seen some people mention the possibility of just throwing Tyrod Taylor out there, which I think it's asinine, but I did wanna make sure that we're on the same page. That's asinine, right?
Maybe not. So here's the thing. You have your little like backup fallacy argument where the backup comes in and the team outperforms the first week, but I just don't think that saying Tyrod Taylor will help the offensive line woes because the offensive line is terrible and he's more mobile. I don't think that's a real solution. I think that I hate to say this. I'm starting to think some of the hate Trevor Lawrence is getting, while a lot of it is warranted, I think we're jumping the shark on some of it. I think that there aren't many quarterbacks who can deal with a shaky offensive line very well, whose accuracy wouldn't just dip because of the constant pressure, and who wouldn't have, you know, we call it seeing ghosts, receiving pressure that isn't there and rushing throws. So I think it would be like a sugar rush. It would see a little bit of short-term success and then, yay, we suck again.
So you use all of this just to play the victim cards for Trevor Lawrence as well.
Damn straight I did.
It goes back to our previous contract. Just like...
Justice for Trevor.
Justice for Trevor. I don't really know why, but I guess that makes sense, right? I don't know. Feels kind of weird that you're still defending this guy, but it is what it is. We'll talk about him. I think he's heading to another loss again. All of that to say, I think, like, I understand but the offensive line woes, probably giving a bit of a pass here. It probably wouldn't really fix anything, and, like, they just need to play better under pressure, because at this point it seems like there's not a whole lot of teams in the league even that have that great of an offensive line to start. So they're all in like a pretty even field. Some of them might have a better O-line, but it's marginal. I don't think it's the amount of good offensive lines in the league. It's like, it's an handful at best, I would say. So I understand from that standpoint. I think the main concern here for the Jets offense is that I was expecting the Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers combination and chemistry and connection in general to be a bit better than it is right now. Because right now it seems like both of them are quite on quite different pages. Let's put it like that. Because like Garrett Wilson hasn't had the best games with Aaron Rodgers. I've seen some drops. I've seen some fumbles as well. The fumble this past game versus Denver. I remember in the Patriots game that he also had. He did get the touchdown, but I remember two plays or three plays in which, like, Aaron Rodgers was visibly frustrated with what Garrett Wilson was doing in terms of drops, in terms of running the wrong route, for example. So I think the connection there isn't as smooth as people would have wanted to see by now, in terms of, like, especially for Dynasty. Like, Garrett Wilson was one of those guys that was super highly rated. I had him as my running back, as my wide receiver one in that class. And it seems like, although he has done more than he should have with the quarterbacks that he's had so far, it does seem like in this position, it's something isn't clicking here. Are you at all concerned for those guys right now, or are you okay with it? I would just say in terms of like rankings, for example, Garrett Wilson in terms of PPR ranking so far on the year, he is wide receiver. Trying to find it because it's just so low. He is wide receiver 41 on the season in terms of full PPR. He's not even the number one wide receiver in terms of fantasy football points on his team. That's Allen Lazard, who's wide receiver 20 on the year. He had that connection with Rodgers from prior. Do you think this is something that will develop along the season, or do you think that there's something to be concerned here because they really aren't mashing all that much?
I think there is something to be concerned. Honestly, my whole thing is Aaron Rodgers kind of feels like a quarterback who he just has his guys, if that makes sense, and he just wants to throw to his guys. So, of course, Allen Lazard looks really good. Allen Lazard has played with Aaron Rodgers for what feels like a decade now. They brought in Randall Cobb, I believe, at one point. I don't think he's still there. But do you remember that game where it was just three targets that got the ball, and it was Breece Hall, Allen Lazard, and Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, that was the first game of the season, if I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should have put more stock into that because I think that was a bigger telling sign that trouble was on the horizon because only targeting three guys basically for an entire game means that he hasn't adjusted. It feels like he hasn't adjusted to being on the Jets, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I can definitely see that. It feels very much like, because there's a lot of adjusting, right? He came out last year and he tore his Achilles immediately. Didn't play anything else. He had the preseason with the Jets, but I don't even think it was the full preseason. He got traded midway through the preseason. In terms of like actual preseason, not the preseason games. But then he comes out and he tears his Achilles like three plays in. He goes to the bench, just rehabs everything. Now this year he comes in and he has to rehab the Achilles. He has to learn the offense, but like get acclimated with the team. So it does feel like there's a lot of moving parts here for him to adjust. That maybe could be something here, could be a factor. I do think that something that I believe we mentioned before, and I believe I have this guy as one of the guys that could be a little bit of a surprise when he talked about this early in the season or even in preseason. But I think the rise of Mike Williams could be also something that is worrisome, at least for Garrett Wilson, I would say, because when you look back at Rodgers' career, he always had that one guy that was the guy that he threw the ball to in the end zone, that was just a 50-50 ball guy, that he would just be able to make the touchdown grab no matter what, would be able to moss a guy, would be able to turn those 50-50 balls into, I don't know, 60-40, 70-30. And Mike Williams is one of those guys when he's healthy. That's what he did with the Chargers. That's what he's trying to do here with the Jets as well.
You're not going to like this. I mean,
what?
That guy is already playing.
Who?
That guy is Allen Lazard.
I don't know. Mike Williams came off, if I'm not mistaken, it was an ACL injury as well. When he was with the Chargers last year, he came into this year and he had a slow start. I mean, he had 18% snap share for the first game, didn't even get into the stat sheet. Then on the second game, he only had one target, played a bit more of the snaps, but only one target. And then after that, versus New England, he had four targets. I remember at least one of them was a 50-50 ball that either ended in a penalty or it was broken up by a New England Patriots cornerback. And then this week, he has his best week yet. I mean, he has five targets, four catches, 67 yards. If I'm not mistaken, he led the team. Yeah, he led the team in receiving yards as well. He has a 50-50 ball thrown deep to him. It was not for a touchdown, but it got a big chunk of the yardage, if I'm not mistaken. So I do think that he will have this role. And if there's one guy in which I would bet to lead the Jets in touchdown passes and receiving touchdown passes from week five until the end of the season, barring injury, I would make the argument for Mike Williams.
I think it's Allen Lazard. I'm sorry. I think that profile wise, yes, Mike Williams should be that guy, but like, the way Aaron Rodgers works Aaron Rodgers gets chemistry with someone and then they do like micro adjustments. I've seen a lot of former Packers wide receiver talk about how some of his audibles are just small, like hand gestures or motion gestures that most people won't see, especially if you're watching the game live, but even players won't see that you have to know. Like Mike Williams just started playing with Aaron Rodgers. They won't have that connection yet. I think that connection is Alan Lazard.
I mean, right now, in terms of target share percentage of the red zone targets,
yep.
Garrett Wilson is the first one. He has 7 targets. He has a 41.18 target percentage and of just the red zone targets. So that's a total of 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 targets. So he has 7 of those. Lazard is second with 5. Everyone else has 1. I think that at least the Lazard, I wouldn't even be surprised if there's a switch. He's converting them more.
There might, but he is converting them more.
It's close. Like the completion percentage for those guys, it's 60% to Lazard, 57.14 to Garrett Wilson. So it's close enough. The other guys, they only have 1 target. It really matters that the sample is small. But I wouldn't even be surprised, like if we see somewhat of a shift here from Garrett Wilson to Mike Williams in terms of like red zone targets, especially use Garrett Wilson, use Lazard more in the middle of the field into the intermediate plays, different routes here and there, and then have Mike Williams be the guy that is actually like, as the season progresses and he, as you said, he gets to build that chemistry with Mike Williams, I think it's likely or it's possible. Let's put it like that. I think it's possible.
I think you're talking, maybe I'm crazy, but I think you're talking a next year thing, not a this year thing.
Hmm. It could be. It could definitely be just a next year. But the thing is, at this point, I think talking about Mike Williams and talking about Aaron Rodgers for next year is something tough to do, yeah. I would say, because again they're quite old, and especially Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like prime Aaron Rodgers anymore. Actually, looks far from that. But I don't know. I think as the season progresses, we will go back to this chat, and you'll be like, Alex, you were kind of onto something here.
Alex, you weren't on to anything.
Okay, but they'll probably lose this week as well to the Vikings. Again, as I said before, I'm expecting them to cover the number. But I think they will lose this game to the Vikings, who are a better team. But again, it's London, so, and it's the National Fake You Out League. So things change here week to week. Doesn't really make a huge dent here. I would like as well to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are now going to be without Jonathan Taylor this week. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's also Quiddy Pay. They'll be without as well. And regarding Anthony Richardson, I know you're a big fan of my guy, Anthony Richardson.
It looks terrible.
He was practicing, if I'm not mistaken, and then last practice, so yesterday's practice, he was questionable for that one. And when asking Steichen what he thought about of Richardson, because he came out and he declared JT out, he declared Quiddy Pay out, so he declared those guys out, and then was asked about the oblique injury. Yeah, they're not calling it an oblique, which was a hip injury. So oblique injury is the same type of injury that Kenneth Walker had that made him miss 2 weeks. When asked about him, he just said that we'll see. And then reports came out that Flacco was taking the majority of first team reps today. So you
just
might...
don't want teams to prepare for Flacco. That's my theory.
I mean, if that's so, then he would have said that he's on track to play, though.
I mean, you can't overtly lie, can you?
I mean, you can. Like, he is questionable for practice, but it's like you can say that you're optimistic that it'll be good for it. Like,
yeah, I guess
you're not like completely lying. You're not just being 100% frank. I mean, you can be optimistic that a guy starts, even though you don't think it will happen, but you can still be optimistic about it. So, but yeah, you're probably not going to see my guy out there, so that's probably going to make you want to flip your pick.
To the Colts?
In the Colts game. Because you had Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. You're probably right.
Yeah.
The better Colts quarterback will be playing.
It's probably better for him to take the week off, because he can play around with his injuries, for sure.
Yeah, the week,
injuries and whatnot. What did you say?
I said the week, the season, same deal.
Oh yeah, it's the same for you. Okay. No, but I mean, ending back to back seasons with like IR stints isn't gonna do him any good in terms of his development. He already looks quite raw and quite like a guy who could use some games. So
crazy.
Crazy, right? Guy who
could have foreseen that?
An handful of games, or two handfuls of games, at the college level. He probably needs some NFL snaps. So, I still like what I'm seeing at most times. Not all of them. Again, because the whole thing with Richardson was the highs are super high, so you bank on them and you make sure that you can hammer those highs and you can hone those highs and just coach around that and coach around what he does good. And you're still seeing the highs, and the highs are still like super highs, are still like, that's like a throw that, again, I said this before, that's a throw 99% of the NFL can't make. But the thing is, the lows are also super low, and it's still like,
my man,
there's times he still can't make a throw that 99% of the NFL can make. So you need to own that part, and you need to improve there.
If I could have transported you back to 2008, Skip Bayless said the same thing about Tim Tebow.
I don't know. I wasn't around that time. I think that the arm talent of one Anthony Richardson, at least from what I've seen of Tim Tebow, is like nowhere close. Like, I think Tim Tebow's...
Tim Tebow were high and the lows with Tim Tebow were low.
Yeah, but the highs with Tim Tebow were mostly runs and like him having a chuck it arm because he had a great team around him. So I think the highs weren't necessarily Tim Tebow highs, but were more, or at least Tim Tebow passing highs, but were more like athletic Tim Tebow highs or team around Tim Tebow highs.
Okay, Skip.
Hey, he's now out of the Fox show, so they need a replacement. So watch out.
Yeah, Alex might put in his application.
I might put in my application. Then you lose me. Then what are you going to do here? Just going to have to run solo.
I'd probably, you know, put a feeler out to Skip Bayless, you know, see if
he's interested.
Yeah.
I lost my guy to your previous job. Now you should come here.
Damn straight.
Because you sure as hell can't have Austin, because otherwise you would be... You would be done with Cowboy Talk.
I would be so tired. It would be worse than having Skip Bayless.
Can you imagine having Skip Bayless and Austin just both going at it with the Cowboys? How about them Cowboys?
I'd love that. I would love that. I would love that.
And then I have someone. I don't know about the basketball show, but
I think they would agree. I think they would agree because they both are Cowboys fans, so they both understand the pain.
Yeah, but they're that weird fan that is like, before the game, they are quite delusional. Midway through the game, they are completely Yeah, but it's even worse than reality. It's like, it's not that they're an average team or anything like that. It's just that they're the worst team ever and that nothing is worse than them and they have it worse than anyone. So it's always annoying on both ends when they're super high and when they're super down as well, because then it's you're like, yeah, like, for example, at least you're not, I don't know, Washington, for fuck's sakes, in terms of like history or the Browns. Or whatever that is, like, Jesus Christ, dude. It's bad, but it's not that bad, like. Or the Panthers. At least you're not the Panthers, dude. Yeah. That would also be fun.
The fact that the Bengals don't get brought up in this conversation is kind of crazy because we remember Carson Palmer and obviously Joe Burrow now. But the Bengals, if I'm not mistaken, still have the most losses. Or the worst winning percentage in the NFL, history-wise.
Is that true? I always thought it was like the Lions.
I'm looking this up now. Like, I'm pretty sure the Bengals are number one. Hold on. NFL career winning percentage team. Let's see. Number one's the Cowboys, by the way.
Oh, that's like in general. Yeah.
Yes. All time. I mean, it's all time. It's not this year. It's not. It's all time. Let's see. Let's go down, 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 down. 32. Oh, no. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I believe that's regular season, though.
Yes, this is regular season.
Yeah.
Bengals aren't even in the bottom five anymore. I could have swore there was a year they were the worst, but I guess with Burrow and Zach Taylor, we've. Bottom five is the Buccaneers, Arizona Cardinals, Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston Texans, and the Atlanta Falcons. Wow.
Mediocre.
Detroit's not even in the bottom five.
Yeah. Detroit is, what, seven?
Yeah, they're just above the Jets.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just like it's the annoyance of the Cowboys.
Well, hey, the Browns and the Bengals are the bottom two with playoff win percentage. Yay. Yeah. Don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, okay, so, speaking of your Bengals.
Yep.
A few more days have passed since we made the predictions. Are you still confident about the Bengals winning this game?
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you feeling? What do you think? How do you think this game plays out?
I think it's going to be 42-35.
Oh, high scoring game then.
Very, very high scoring game.
Do they tend to be high scoring games?
Let's see the last just three seasons. Ravens versus Bengals all time. Let's just see some of these games. the very last one, 34-20. The one before that, 24-27. This was the year Joe Burrow was out.
Wasn't that also the Tyler Huntley game? Or no? Was that before?
24-17. 27-16, 17-19. There's a low one. 41-21, 41-17. Yeah, this is going to be a high scoring game.
Yeah, the over-under is 49 here. So,
yeah, I'd go the over. This is. Oh, the series is 30-27 all time. Cool.
Close enough to the tie, right?
Yep, I bet the Bengals. Yeah, the Bengals did a lot of losing to them in the 90s. There it is.
Anyway, the good defense days of the Ravens.
Yep. But yeah, no, I think there's. I don't think the Ravens defense is a lot worse now. And we even when it was good, we were scoring points on them with relative ease. I don't think that the Bengals have an answer to defensively. The Bengals don't have an answer to Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens don't have an answer to Joe Burrow and all those weapons. So I think it could end up being very similar to the Thursday night game.
That would be good. Like, high scoring games is what the NFL usually tends towards. And since we're talking about the Ravens in general, just want to mention that before we start recording, like most wide receivers do, Davante Adams went on social media. He went on Instagram, and you know that there's that tweet that usually makes the rounds whenever wide receivers switch, which is like how open the positions usually are, and it's like the QBs, the tight ends, the running backs, they all say normal stuff, and then it's like the usual tweet of a wide receiver. It's the enemy speaks kind with, I don't know, something words, something like that, or is dangerous with words or something like that. And just saying the most cryptic shit. And then it's Davante Adams goes on Instagram and he puts on history on his Instagram stories. He puts a picture of Edgar Allan Poe.
Of Edgar Allan Poe?
Yeah. Okay. For those of you who don't know Edgar Allan Poe, he is a writer. And he has He's a poet. And he has one book, which is called, which is basically like a collection of poems. And the name of that is The Raven and Other Poems. So,
The Raven, yeah.
Connections have been made because apparently Davante Adams said earlier this week that he would rather be traded. So that's kind of a weird way to ask for a trade. It's like, yeah, okay, but if possible, I'd rather be traded. And during this week, I believe early in this week, Antonio Pierce went on Instagram and like there was some post that said like this could be the last game of Davante Adams. Raiders career, this could have been the last game, and Pierce put a like on that as well. So with all of that said, you could maybe have Davante Adams in your division. How do you feel about that?
He's getting older. This will be his second team.
So you're not worried.
I'm going to sound like such a homer by saying this. I would kind of prefer it because that means less carries for Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson potentially. And that's the thing that scares me.
But I thought Derrick Henry was old and he just didn't matter. All he did was score touchdowns. You take the touchdowns away and his fantasy production is nothing. So why do you care about his carries?
Because the Bengals can't stop the run.
They also can't, and no one can stop Derrick Henry, by the way.
Hopefully the Baltimore Ravens can.
By getting Davante Adams.
Yes.
I do think that no matter what happens, I do think he ends up in your division, because the one team that I thought he would have might have gone to were the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think between the Steelers and the Ravens, I think there's a good chance that one of the guys is there.
Time out. So you're on the Raiders. So why would going to the Steelers be a better situation?
I don't necessarily think it would be a better situation, but they're at least in contention for something. And they are winning games at this point, so that's at least more than you can say about
your quarterback play improving.
I mean, your quarterback play is really not improving all that much. But still, maybe with Russell Wilson, it improves a bit when they finally make the change there.
Not this week, friend.
We'll see. He didn't commit to anything. Mike Tomlin in the press, in the podium, didn't really commit to anything. He did say that Fields, or there were at least reports that Fields was taking the majority of first team reps, but still no confirmation on who will start. Which I don't know why you make such a big fuss about that, but hey. I think in terms of QB play, if you get Russell Wilson, that's a big improvement. If you get Justin Fields, it's kind of eh. Okay. But like, there's been this rumor that the Steelers want to trade for a wide receiver since the preseason when they tried to get Ayuk. Now they're in the conversation for Adams. Maybe if someone else asks for a trade, we could see that happening. Just to wrap up here on the Ravens. If I'm not mistaken, in the last 2 weeks, the Ravens have used 21 personnel at the third highest rate in the league. And 21 personnel, yeah. Derrick Henry, from 20, 21, or 22 personnel, this year he has 58 runs, 384 yards, 6.6 yards per carry, and 4 touchdowns. So it seems like they might have figured out how to use him properly.
It appears so.
He's feasting right now. And again, like, if you look at the carries and the yards that he had, like, this week alone he had 199 carries. That's basically half of the number that I mentioned. So, but it seems like they might have figured something out there. Let's hope your Bengals can stop them.
No, they're not going to be able to stop them. They're just going to be able to outscore them.
Oh, breaking news. Devin Singletary is being... is now being listed as doubtful for Sunday due to his groin injury.
So not playing.
Likely not playing, yeah.
Hopefully that means he plays next week.
So this is Tyron Tracy. If you can get Tyron Tracy off of your waivers, I mean, he should get the bulk. He was already eating into Devin Singletary snaps. He should get the bulk of the work here, even if the offense isn't doing anything.
That might give me a glimmer of hope. I have him in the Dynasty League. The league I have no running backs.
There goes Tyron Tracy. Hey, you can start him this week. I think he's going to be good.
Damn.
Are you done?
No, I did.
That was off the window. I think on volume alone, I think he's going to get usage. I think he's going to get usage in the passing game, which he was getting some, even with Singletary around. So I think you can at least like trust him to be a low-end wide running back too, especially on a week that will have buys for the Lions. So you won't have Jahmyr Gibbs. You won't have David Montgomery. There's also buys on... who else was on buys this week? There's also buys for the Chargers, so you might be without J.K. Dobbins if you were using him quite a bit. So at least you get some relief there in a player that you can at least start in. You know that his floor will be kind of high purely because of volume if Singletary doesn't play. Even if he does play, I think you can start Tyron Tracy because the split will be more towards Tyron. And we've seen that with similar split, Devin Singletary has been doing good, so.
Unbelievable.
Aaron Tracy, wheels up.
He's picking him up. Wait, what?
No, I said Tyron. Didn't I say Tyron Tracy? Tracy wheels up?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Cam Akers is preparing to be the lead back week 5 against the Bills.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's because, if I'm not mistaken, Joe Mixon is, again, trending towards not playing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, he hasn't played the last 2 weeks. Cam Akers hasn't really performed whatsoever. If you look back at what he has done in full PPR, you look at his production, and you get, like, this past week, he had 13 carries for 53 yards. That's that.
4 yards a carry. That's not that bad.
Yeah, but it's like it's no passing game production. That you ended up with 5.3 points. That's nothing. You can get that off of waivers fairly clean. And like the week prior to that one, which he also started, he went on to have 9.9 points because he saved his day with a touchdown. So you take the touchdown away, that's like 3.9 So I believe the touchdown also came off a catch. So if you take away all that, it's like you're left with 21 yards rushing. It's nothing. Plus, I think Damian Pierce, from what I've read, I think he's going to play. So if he's going to play, like, he's going to be into the Cam Akers role, into the Cam Akers usage. And you also had Dare Gumbo-Wale, who was quite used this past week as well. So I think you can leave Cam Akers for someone else to take on waivers.
Interesting.
Yeah. Other than that, what do you do with the Miami Dolphins weapons? You look back and it's like, you trade for them?
Yes.
Question.
Sure.
For a while, we said that we saw Tua before all of the weapons that he had, before the new coaching staff, before all of that. We saw Tua with all of that, and then he didn't look particularly good. He had some deficiencies to his game, all of that, all true. McDaniels comes in, and although I don't think he is like this mastermind of an head coach, as some people try to make him to be at times, I do think that he is a good offensive mind in general. Now, that's not all that you need to be a good head coach, so that's why I don't think he's a good head coach or a great head coach. I think he's an okay coach at best. I think he's a much better coordinator and a schemer on offense. But all of this to say that for a while we said that Tua was Hill-dependent. Could it be that it was just Hill that was Tua-dependent, at least in this scheme, and at this day and age, I guess? Because if you look at Tyreek Hill, and it's like, we don't really give any sort of the credit to Tua, we give it all to Tyreek Hill. But Tyreek Hill, without Tua, hasn't broken 40 yards receiving. So the best that he got since Tua got injured, 40 yards on week 3 versus Seattle. That's that. Waddle also isn't doing anything. We don't know if Tua will be back. I think he will after he comes off of IR, but at least right now, we don't know anything in that regard. So the latest report that came out was that he was expected to return when he was first eligible. So that will be, if I'm not mistaken, week 8. Yeah, versus the Cardinals. And I believe, if I'm not reading this wrong, that he has been symptom free. So it's the IR seemed really amazing, to be more preventive than anything. Yeah. And I'm glad that is going good. And I believe he is meeting with neurologists as well to make sure that everything is okay. So I'm glad that's all going well for him.
But it's like, do you think Tua should retire?
Do I think what?
Do you think Tua should retire?
That's always a tough question, because you look at this guy and it's like, for his health, I would say so, because he can do more harm to him still, because he's playing a violent game, he's playing something that can make it even worse. It's like, this is not the worst that we've seen. It can be worse because you're constantly taking hits. Like last season, he didn't have a concussion, but like, what's to say those things are so random? And it's just like, it's the luck of the draw, really. If you get, like, I don't know, let's say he gets another one or two this year, then you're definitely looking at serious risks of having issues in the future in terms of your brain and whatnot. But it's like, how do you say a guy that has been playing football for as long as he has, that he should just, like, retire for the day?
Stop doing,
like,
it.
He's a competitor. Yeah, he's like, he's a competitor. He is what? He's 26
he's
years
like
26, old.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he has been playing this game for 4 years at the pro level, that is. Like, he's living his dream, so it's hard for you to say someone, like, just don't live your dream and retire because of this or that. It's like, at the end of the day, like, if he speaks with the physicians, if he speaks with the neurologists, and all of them say that, like, okay, it's okay, like, you can go back, it, there's nothing wrong yet, you just need to take some sort of precautions in order to avoid the concussions, much like you did last year, because last year he didn't take as many risks in terms of the running, in terms of, like, how he fell, that seems to have worked out a bit. I also think that, if I'm not mistaken, he was a bit lighter last season, which I believe helped him in terms, at least that's what I read, that it was a factor in which it helped him avoiding some of the concussions and working through that. But now I believe he put up some weight this offseason just to be able to run a bit more when need to be and be a bit more bulky in that sense. So if he goes back to the routine that he had last season, maybe it wasn't just luck, maybe he did prepare himself quite well to avoid the concussions, and then this year, after a year in which he didn't have any, he thought, okay, maybe I'm free of that, maybe all of that is past me, and he just went back to his best self. Maybe he thinks that his best self is someone who's a bit bulkier, who can pick up some yards when needed running the football. Like, we can't blame him in that sense. So, hey, I hope he doesn't retire, because that would suck. Someone, like, seeing someone that still has so much to offer to the game just have to retire at such a young age when he is a fierce competitor. And, like, he's been through a lot. Like, he came into the league, like, there were doubts about him. Then he gets the keys to the Miami Kingdom, let's put it like that. His first years are quite rough with Ryan Fitzpatrick there. He's basically, like, alternating with Fitzpatrick, and when they need to win, Fitzpatrick is coming in. Then he has to face the whole thing of Brian Flores, who apparently wasn't, like, although he is a good coach and a good coordinator, I don't think he's a good head coach in terms of, like, how you handle personalities and how you handle, like, people skills. Sometimes it's not about, like, you can be a great mind and you can be a great, like, analytical guy or a great, like, boss in terms of, like, business decisions and whatnot, but, like, you also need that personal side and you need to have that connection with people, and it seemed like Flores didn't really have that. So he's been through a bit in terms of, like, playing, in terms of, like, adversity with coaching and whatnot, but he's been managing to go through that, and now it really looks like he was the guy that was, he was the engine of that offense, and that makes me happy to see a guy like him getting that recognition right now. So all that to say, I hope he doesn't retire. What do you say? And we lost Angelo.
What's that? Sorry.
No, I said all of that to say that I don't think he should retire. And what's your take on that?
It's his decision. I think that if he wants to continue to play, this has to be something he consciously worked towards, like, every single day, every single week, and he doesn't let up on. Like, he's going to have to be one of the most stationary quarterbacks in the NFL, most likely, because of it.
And he will need to take the steps in order to, like, when you're falling, because sometimes it's not even about the takeoffs. It's also about
how you're falling. Yeah, the Tom Brady thing of falling before you get sacked.
Yeah, and it's like, he really didn't seem to have that nailed down, at least prior to last season. So he needs to keep working on that, at least. Okay, other than that, other games that we can talk about here. Buffalo-Houston. What's your read on that game?
I think, funny enough, I think that's going to be a high-scoring game too.
That I could see. I actually, I'm going to sound like an hater again, because whenever this guy comes up...
Hater, Josh Allen hater.
A CJ Stroud hater.
There we go.
Did you know that, by the way, the Texans are 0-4 ATS on the season?
They're about to be 1-4.
I wouldn't be surprised if they lose this game in an ugly fashion. Because you look at the Bills, and they beat the Cardinals, even though they faced some adversity to start. But after that first quarter, like, things went pretty smoothly. They handled the Cardinals pretty well. Then they blow out the Dolphins, 31-10. They absolutely destroy the Jags, 47-10. And then they come in a spot in which they were the underdogs, which was kind of a weird line. From all I've heard and from what we discussed here, was kind of a weird line. And then they got absolutely blown out by the Cardinal, like, from the get-go. Like, didn't really seem like they were ready for that game. But then you look at the Texans, and they are on the opposite side. Like, they had a close game versus the Colts, who don't seem to be, like, a great team. But they only lost, they only won that game by 2. Richardson got a late touchdown for that to be that close of a game. Then they win 19-13 versus the Bears, which was a very unconvincing game from them. Didn't really seem like they were all that good. Like, they faced a good defense, but an offense that really struggled moving the ball, and they still couldn't really pile up on them. And then they get absolutely destroyed by the Vikings on week 3. Then they go on and they face the Jags. And, like, although they won that game 24-20. Like, let's not kid ourselves. And as much as I like to hate on the Jags, because it's fun, right? It's good when you can shit on these teams. Like, that game was very much... that game was very much in the hands of the Jags until late. Like, they won that game with a touchdown with 22 seconds to go in the last quarter. So that's when they scored the last touchdown. They were down, if I'm not mistaken, for most of, if not the entirety of the game. I think they were up going into the half, but then, like, they finished the first quarter down. They went into the half. They were up by, I believe it was 4. The Jags scored a touchdown in the third quarter, and then they're down basically the rest of the game until, like, late in the fourth quarter, which they scored a touchdown. Like, that game was very much blown by the Jags, who really couldn't sustain drive after being up, more than it was won by the Texans. At least in my eyes, that's how I see it. I think, like, even the wins that they do get, they are kind of phony in that sense. So I don't know. I feel like this is a team that is massively overhyped. Again, when you're 0-4 ATS, it's either that you suck as a team in general, but even when you suck as a team, for example, look at the Panthers, which we've said that they suck, right? They're 1-3 ATS, so they have a better ATS record than the Texans. So it's either you suck, but it usually doesn't last that long because the lines will adjust and you will be an heavy underdog . Or is it just that everyone expected so much of you and they thought that you were this great team, but in the end, it's really not. And it just screams frauds here. And I think that's what the Texans are. So I wouldn't be shocked if we're sitting here next week and it's just like they got absolutely blown out again.
That's good. So why do you think then that they're going to get blown out? Do you think CJ Stroud is just not going to perform? Do you think the whole team's not going to perform? Because
I don't think he's been having a bad season. Let's put it like that. I can look at his stats here, and he is QB 14 out of 34 for PFF. He has a 75.3 grade from PFF. If you look at his numbers overall, I can open them up here. But he has 1,000 yards passing. He has 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's tied for 6th in the league in touchdowns, 6th in the league in passing yards. So it's an overall good season. Let's put it like that. But I think a lot of these stats are a tad empty or come in like situations in which like it didn't really affect the outcome of the game. And I think that their defense, it has some problems in terms of like the run defense, for example. I remember if you look back, Richardson ran on them. JT ran on them, for example, as well. I wanted to flip this here as well. The defense unit. Yeah. If you look at the grades for them on defense, you'll see that, for example, Jalen Petrie is ranked 59 out of 97 QBs, CBs in the league. Ward is ranked 39th out of 76 safeties in the league. So, like, none of their guys have really shined in the secondary. And then you look at the front seven, and it's like you have one guy that is inside of the top four, of the top 15 for the linebackers, which is Al-Shahir. And then, like, the best guy that they've had on the of the off the edge, it's Danielle Hunter as well, which is the 25th best edge rusher. I just think that they will be ran on quite a bit. No, Will Anderson is the 31st best edge on the league so far.
Huh.
Yeah, he's having, at least according to PFF, and I know people like to moan about PFF, and it's this and it's that, but it's like it's standardized, you know? It's like, yeah, you can argue that their rankings is bad or they're not looking at the right thing or that this or that, but at the end of the day, they are evaluating these guys based on the same criteria. So at least according to that criteria, these are their rankings. So I think from that standpoint, it makes sense, and you need to have a basis to go off on. So, I mean, high test is, we've discussed this in terms of prospects. Sometimes I see one thing, sometimes you see one thing. It's very iffy in that regard. So it's good to at least have some sort of number. So I do expect them to be able to run on them quite a bit, and I think that's what they've wanted to do for quite a while. They definitely couldn't this past week versus the Ravens. One thing is that they won't have Khalil Shakir this week. He was ruled out prior to us starting recording, so they're not going to have him. But I think like they have enough guys that can step up and play the role a bit better, for example, like Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman. But I think the focus will be the run, because teams have been able to run on them, even just like a couple of weeks ago. They had the Vikings, which just completely ran wild on them, if I'm not mistaken. Aaron Jones had a heck of a game. I can go back and look, but he had over 100 yards rushing. He had 5.4 yards per carry. So they're able to run on them. They're able to pass on them, especially outside of Stingley. But even Stingley, he's been somewhat hit or miss at times, although he is their best-ranked safety, cornerback. But overall, I think their defense is not the best. I think the offense is solid, but like they will be missing a run game. So that part of the game, like ever since Mixon went out, this offense took a step back. Now you have Akers, you have the Damian Pierce, who didn't really fit the scheme last season. So I think there's a whole lot of things that can go wrong here for the Texans, and I think they will. I definitely expect them to lose this game by over two touchdowns.
Over two? Wow.
Hey, at least that's my read right now of the game. I think it's a good bounce back spot for the Bills. I think the Texans are overhyped. They've been overhyped from the start.
I think we're going to
see. They've been like one of the
40 or 50 attempts for CJ Stroud, I think.
Yeah, like he's passing a lot. And it's like, if you look at last season, I said this before, is interception ratio, is pass to interception ratio, was amongst the absolute best ever numbers that, for example, a Tom Brady ever posted or an Aaron Rodgers ever posted. And hot take, I don't think he is better than those guys, or at least at the same level even. So I think this is an easy fade the Texans, but like people, again, their favorite by right now, and their favorite by 1 point. They just came off a win. People look at the box score. They look at the numbers, and it's a win there versus the Jags. I'll tell you that game didn't really look like a win until they got that touchdown late. People already forgot about the embarrassing loss to the Vikings. And they look at the Bills, and they see a team that just got dismantled by the Ravens. I think this is going to be a great bounce back spot for the Bills. Okay.
I think you have to go.
Other than that, but yeah, I do have to go. It's. There's more things that we could have talked about. I'm starting the week off rough because the Buccaneers lost that game
on last night, Thursday Night Football. Again, we were talking about this prior to starting recording, but the end result was the only time in which the Buccaneers weren't covering the line that we had pregame here. So, because I believe I'm not mistaken. Actually, it was the second time, because the Falcons were on first and they scored a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they scored a touchdown early in the game. After that, Tampa Bay scored again, scored the touchdown, that is. And after that, like, they were always covering that number up until the end and up until overtime, in which they failed to cover the number. So it is how it is. Like, shit happens. At least we got the Drake London breakout game. So, anything else you want to add?
No, I think I'm good. I'm just flabbergasted by numbers. I think we're in for a really good slate of football. Even at the 1 o'clock, I think Bengals, Ravens, and Texans, Bills could have definitely been in primetime games this week. I'm actually kind of curious why they didn't get subbed in. But regardless, great games.
You know, sometimes there's like those things with the networks in which they have that game and they can protect that game. So I'm sure that something along those lines happened. And it's like that game was protected by, I don't know, if you look at who has that game. So the Texans game is CBS. So I'm sure that like CBS protected that game. And then you look at the Baltimore Ravens. That game is that's CBS as well. So I don't know. Sometimes like the networks protect the games, but I'm not sure if you can protect more than one game to being switched around. Kind of weird. Like, I'm surprised that CBS themselves didn't just flip one of the games over, unless they do not have a slot on the 4 p.m. games.
I wonder if my thing is already set for who I'm going to get this Sunday. Let's see. Well, I don't know.
They either have one way. CBS game, but it's Darnold. It's Darnold. It's Love. And
I'm going to get Cincinnati, Baltimore. And then Pittsburgh, one. Vegas.
Pittsburgh, no. Lovely. Denver, Vegas. No?
Pittsburgh, Vegas.
Pittsburgh isn't playing Vegas. Pittsburgh is playing
that's
Dallas.
October 13th. Never mind. That's next week. Okay, so then Green Bay, LA. Green Bay, LA. I mean,
you're getting two good games there.
Yeah. I get to watch Jordan Love and Joe Burrow. Lamar Jackson, and granted, Matthew Stafford doesn't have any weapons, but those are four. I'm more than fine watching those four quarterbacks.
Hey, since we're on this topic, I don't think I've ever told you, but every time I say this to any American, they always get sort of in shock by how much I pay for NFL year. And it's all legal, by the way. And
it's
we'll
all
finish
legal
up on this. It's all legal. I have a subscription here. The Zone has the rights to the NFL here. So they're the ones that are streaming it. They have TV channels as well that you can buy the package with the network, with your provider, that is. But you can get like just the NFL package, and you can watch it online, in the website or the apps, wherever. And for everything NFL, so I get Red Zone, I get all of the games in singular that I can watch. I can watch them all in back. I can watch them all in 4D if I want the game in 4D. I have the primetime games, all of them. So I have every single game that you can think of. I also have the NFL draft. I have the combine. I have basically like until preseason. I even get Ardnots, if I'm not mistaken, from next year. So I get everything until preseason. I think I actually get like the first game of preseason, and then I need to renew my subscription. But for all of that, how much do you think that I've paid? And this is all legal again. This is with the Zone.
$350 a year.
I pay, and I the price for all of this was $160, if I'm not mistaken.
For the year?
For the year. Oh, and dude, I got 25% off because I was a customer last year and I wasn't renewing it. I was only going to renew it for like week one. But thank God that I waited because they wanted to keep me in. So they realized that I wasn't renewing yet. So they sent me a 25% off coupon to discount it. And they allowed me to pay it off monthly. So I'm basically like paying for like $20 a month for 6 months.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I live an hour away from Cleveland and I can't even get Guardians game on the most expensive MLB pass here. So, you know what? More power to you.
Hey, at least we have to have something good here. So, the NFL is definitely a good price here from what I see outside. Sometimes talking to guys in the US, I think that I'm getting a great price.
It's like $400, dude. Minimum.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sometimes you only get like certain games. Other games are like blocked or whatnot. Even in the UK, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen some people like. What do you mean?
We can't get Thursday night games here unless we have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I know that here. I don't have like if I go on Amazon Prime, if I go on Twitch to watch Amazon, or if I go on the Amazon Prime thing, I do not have the game, and I have Amazon Prime, so it's all locked, but it's to the zone. So you get the zone, you get everything. I know it's not the case, for example, in the UK, which they have some games that are locked because it's not all of one in one network. Like, for example, Sky Sports has some games, The Zone has other games, and then I think there's another network that has a couple more games. So those are blocked from The Zone. For example, Sky Sports games are not in The Zone. Here it's like everything is The Zone, so I just get everything. So 160. In my case, it ended up being like around 120. I paid a bit more because it's by 6 months, so $20 a month. Very good. And I get everything. So
that's crazy, dude. More power to you. That's not here.
Yeah. Hey, you have to have something good. So, guys, as always, thank you. Different time here today. You're listening to us on Sunday, so enjoy Sunday football. You will have football every day, all day until night, basically. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed the London game. I'm going to have a blast because I have football from like, I don't know, 2:30 p.m. until like 1 a.m., which I can't watch the Sunday night football. I'll have to watch the day after. But hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you enjoyed the show. It seems like the numbers have been doing great. So thank you. Keep doing that. Keep turning on the auto downloads as well. Really helps out the show. From what I'm hearing from Angela, it seems like not a whole lot of you have that turned on, so please do. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify app, all of those, wherever you get your podcasts, that is an option that is available to you. So it's fairly simple to do, and it helps out the show a ton. Leave off a 5-star review as well, and subscribe to the show. Of course, that's all that we need from you, and we'll stick around here and we'll do a bunch more shows for you guys. If you're listening on the YouTubes, you know what to do. Just do all of the things that you've been doing for like 15 years. I don't need to tell you anymore. It's like everyone tells you what to do. So just go do it if you want it. If you don't, okay, that's okay as well. YouTube isn't our main focus right now. Just do all of that on podcasts. That's what helps the show out the most. So please do. And yeah, as always, guys, talk to you next week.
Peace out, guys.